Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Emerging podcast scene brought to you by Extend Technologies. We do a deep dive into awful NFL uniforms and one way to fix a blunder of a decision for good.
And old people dying on your paper route back in the day. It's the Emerging Podcast Scene, presented by Extend Technologies on 92.3 The Fan Extra and the free Odyssey app.
The first 4 hours were simply an amuse-bouche.
I'm stuffed. I can't remember the last time I ate this much.
Sure you don't want no dessert?
Not for me.
I'm good.
Your table is now ready for Carmen and Lima's Emerging Podcast Scene.
We're brought to you by Extend Technologies, XTENDAV.com. Tonemaster General, what's happening?
People sending us more ventriloquists. If you heard the end of the show, we power ranked top ventriloquists.
The Limester.
Because think about the power of a ventriloquist. If you, right now, can get a manager thrown out of a game based on what you're saying. I mean, imagine the power. The ability to throw your voice at any point.
I wish people could have seen Owen's face when I said Edgar Bergen. I mean, he looked at me like it was unbelievable.
It's more of why do you even know that?
I listen. You know why? I listened to a podcast that featured Edgar Bergen.
An Edgar Bergen podcast?
Yeah.
Is it worth
There's millions
to?
Of them. It's pretty good. Just Google Edgar Bergen, I guess. Or, wherever you find your podcast. Okay, what are we doing there? Anyway, sorry, Lima just showed me something. How are you going to fix this terrible wrong in sports? Fix it right now.
All right, so yesterday the Denver Broncos
brought
uniforms
to you by Extend.
Came out. They look like a mixture of Syracuse and Illinois.
So, real quick. They came out with the 77 throwbacks were so good. It kind of, for me, I did not realize. I thought they were just adding a throwback. I didn't realize they're changing their uniforms. I thought they were just still the old jerseys. I go, just bring those back full time.
Right.
And then I saw the other jerseys and went, hey, boy, this was after you told me. And they have they look like they're a mix of Syracuse and Illinois. Yeah.
So why can't we do this as a way to fix egregious wrongs in sports going forward? We all agree that we don't agree on anything in life, especially the internet. And I looked it up the other day. I was doing research on what 90% of the country believes in. 90%, almost nothing gets to 90%. The one thing I came up with, and multiple polling has been done on this, 90% of the United States, sometimes closer to 89%, but 90% believe in background checks for guns. This isn't about guns. This isn't about anything except background checks. That if you're going to be able to buy a gun, there should be a background check. 90%. 90% of people don't believe on anything when
Agree.
It comes to politics.
Yeah.
Agree. 90% actually believe in some form of gun control. Not gun control. Background checks. So,
which is technically a form of gun control.
I guess. Yes.
Yeah, it is.
So I found that interesting. I looked and looked and looked. I can't find anything else. 90%. Yesterday on Twitter, it was close to 100% that the Broncos need to go back to the John Elway uniforms. The Orange Crush uniforms, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they're not John Elway uniforms. Were they Craig Mortensen? They before?
I mean, 77.
Yeah. So they went to the Super Bowl back then. Yeah. They went to the Super Bowl.
Well, I mean, I still think those were the John Elway uniforms, were they not?
I call them the John Elway uniforms. Whatever. Orange Crush. Whatever. That to me, I know we're Browns fans, so we hate. But when I was young, I loved all the helmets and all the uniforms. And because those were my formative years, those were the uniforms that stuck out in baseball, football, basketball. No matter how bad the uniforms were, I didn't know it. I thought, those are the uniforms of every team forever. That's just what you think when you're 10 years old.
Yeah.
So to this day, those Bronco uniforms, I think, are beautiful. I think they're some of the best uniforms in sports.
I couldn't believe. Oh, I was a kid, and I remember when they changed, because they changed those. The Broncos have basically had the same uniform for a very long period of time. I remember when I was a kid, and I heard adults, either on the news or, you know, whatever, and they were like, finally, they changed those ugly uniforms, the orange and the D on the side. I'm going, what? Those are awesome. Those are awesome uniforms. And I remember disagreeing then, and now it's kind of like, okay, I was right. I was right when I was like 8 years old. I was right. Oh, and I know you hate them because you're a Chiefs fan.
The only uniform worse than the old ones are the ones that they just had from 96.
Yeah. The Terrell Davis ones.
Yeah, the Terrell Davis ones. Where I just thought, I was like, these are the D and everything. Like, they're perfect. I don't know why you would get rid of them, and now they kind of want everything old is new again. But
yeah.
They look so much, now that you have like...
And seeing them against the Browns and the drive and the fumble and in 89, it looks...
Do we play Denver this year?
It looks perfect. Yeah, we play the AFC West.
Oh, they got it. They got to. Yeah, we end up playing Denver every year. They got to put the 77s out for that.
They look right.
Yeah.
They just look right. So my point was, we rarely ever have consensus, and 90% is as much consensus as you get. When they come out with those uniforms like they did, I know they poured their blood, sweat, and tears in the creative team, who knows, in Manhattan, fixing or putting together, or in Los Angeles.
Are these people
who've
never been to Denver, too?
Probably, just like our Browns remake.
Just like ours, yeah.
What was it, 2015?
Yeah.
Our Browns remake. So I just think there should be a simple way to gauge support. Do one round of voting, and if it's 90%, they have to scrap the whole thing immediately. And we could do this in sports. If 90% of the NFL fans think something like the uniform, something like how we deal with pass interference, something like you give me any rule, the new kickoff rule, if 90% of people oppose it immediately, it's got to go. You got to go back to the drawing board.
The 90% rule.
The 90% rule. We don't come, and I get it. I took political science courses.
Poli sci.
I had a double major in political
double
science.
Double major.
And public affairs journalism, Kenny. I am certainly hip to the tyranny of the majority. I understand that minority power is an important part of the United States. However, 10% in sports, you have no say. You have no say, and you should be powerless.
What is the downside of this?
Like,
they would say, well, we've already made uniforms that people can buy. Yeah. It's not my money. I don't
care. Who cares? I mean, the Broncos are probably worth $3.5 to $4 billion.
Just got sold for that.
What did they get sold for?
The Waltons.
So we know how much they're worth.
Yeah, Walton family.
$4.5 billion.
And Walmart bought them.
I think they could commission for $500,000.
Have
a
blue light special on those uniforms they shouldn't be using.
Let's go. And then you know what they could do? An alternate uniform, the uniform that never was. How great would that be every year? The uniforms we never wore.
Can we do the like gunmetal one that I saw that they never used?
Yes. And
that thing was awesome.
The 49ers had the uniform that never made it, the logo that never made it.
So
that was supposed to be the NES.
That's right.
Nike now owns all the uniforms, right? They had basketball. They start every year. Every basketball team has two or three base uniforms, and then they all have one that is like totally different, except for the Celtics, who put some gold on there. But there are ones where you're like, who is it? Like, Oklahoma City shows up and they look like they're the Indiana Pacers.
Yes.
I think the Pacers show up and look like they're, you know, the Portland Trailblazers. Like, that fourth uniform is always so far in left field. Baseball started doing it as well. The Phillies have one this year that is like blue and yellow. Why do the Phillies have anything to do with blue? I don't get. But I can't
Are the City Connect deals.
I can't believe that there isn't a City Connect jersey for every NFL team. That is like, they'll be the Cleveland Browns, but they're going to wear green and blue, and just call it the City Connect
because it's
the Emerald Forest City.
Yeah, this is interesting because it's the balance of merchandising, being able to soak every last penny out of your consumers. Also having some fun, but then also realizing the NFL, the one thing they've always had going for it is that conservative nature that you're not going to be shell-shocked. When you tune into a game, you know which teams you're going to watch. And that's why when they went to those crazy uniforms, like 15 years ago, they started experimenting, right? The Packers, the Lions, the Bears. We started to see uniforms that were supposed to be these an homage to the old school uniforms, but some of them were like out of control crazy. How do NFL fans feel about having their tradition shaken? We know in Cleveland, Browns fans have not warmed up to the idea of a lot of different uniform helmets, logos. They just haven't.
No.
No matter what idiots like me say when I'm like, ah, let's do an ode to the, you know, the Bulldogs, like to Jim Thorpe. There's history there, there's tradition, or the Guardians with the spiders. Like I'm into some of that stuff. You people have spoken. The fans, the Browns fans have spoken. They don't like it.
If I got, I'd leave the Guardians as they are. I'd get rid of that wing baseball.
Yeah, that's
good. Everybody told me I would get used to it and learn to like it. It has not happened. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. And honestly, if I were David Blitzer, if I ever get to meet David Blitzer before he takes over, I go, the first thing you need to do is get rid of that stupid wing baseball. That thing needs to go. I'm gonna slide a picture of Polly Walnuts across the table and go, Mr. Blitzer, this is what your logo looks like.
Tear down that baseball.
Get rid of that. Tear down that baseball logo. Put up the C. Get a new logo. Put the Guardian face. Whatever you want to do. You got the cool script from the 1920s. What's it called? Like Gothic or whatever it is.
Yeah.
You got all that good stuff going on out there. Get rid of this. Don't want to see it. Never again. Second thing, it looks cheap. Looks terrible. Second thing is I would put the Cavs to the old orange and blue, and I would leave the Browns as they are now. They finally got it right again. I didn't mind the brown face mask. I thought that was fine, but I just like the white face mask so much more. It looks so much better. It's a harken back to my old days when I was a kid and watching the Browns on NBC. So I like it, but that's my personal preference. I know that people don't like it, but that's the way it is. I agree with what you're saying. I think that that'd be a great idea. You know what? I got to tell you this. Like, Adidas went through it. When was Denard Robinson playing for Michigan?
2015?
Was it that recent?
No. It was further back.
Yeah, I thought it was further back.
Yeah, because I'm trying to piece it all together. Because
where they had Tom Harmon for his father?
07 was Appalachian State.
Yeah.
And Clowney hit Robinson. Like Clowney's,
oh, yeah.
So that's where
No.
Wasn't it?
No, I thought it was the running back, not Robinson. I thought it was the running back he hit. Mm. Anyway, I'm getting off the beaten path. I don't need to go back to Adidas went through a weird period with their teams, and I think that's kind of how they lost some of their teams, where their uniforms were not very, like, they were too busy doing too much, like the weird.
He was drafted in 2013.
So I am right around that time.
Yeah.
So remember that strip, like that striping around like the top of the ass and down like the legs and stuff? They had a lot of weird uniforms. It was like, it wasn't the beginning of the Oregon thing, but it was like getting into the wheelhouse there. I think, man, now that they have baseball, football, basketball, Nike's, man, they're swinging and missing. These are huge hell hacks that they are missing, guys. Like these baseball uniforms, the script on the back, they look bad. The last names, like, I need a big last name. I want to see what it is. It looks like a Little League jersey. And, you know, we talked about the pants, and now the one guy's pants ripped at home plate, but this was a few weeks ago. This was around opening day. And some of these NFL uniforms, it's like, you know what? Maybe let's just go back to the way things were. Like, the Jets went back to the way things were. They didn't go all the way back to the white helmet with the Jets on the side, but they went back to the way things were in the 80s and 90s. The Browns obviously went back. And part of it, I do think, is almost a... I got to tell you, I think part of it might be an arrogance. Again, it still left a bad taste in my mouth when these guys are standing up there, when the Browns changed their jerseys in 2015. I'm like... They're saying, we capture the spirit of Cleveland. I go, you guys have never been to Cleveland. You guys might have flown in here for meetings, but you haven't spent time in on the east side, west side, south side, give up, no surrender. You've not spent time here. You don't know the people here. And like this is not necessarily what these people want. And I think that basically, are they doing the same thing with Denver? And it's just like, listen, you're fans, and you'll accept this, and you'll get used to it. I don't know if you're giving the fans what they want.
It seemed, and
something aesthetically that they want to see.
It just seemed like not only did the people outside of Denver all kind of laugh and say, can't wait till they go back to the old uniforms. The people in Denver, they seem to want that. And now I'm curious, this Texans redesign. So there have been leaks about the Texans redesign. And the colors, the blue is a different blue, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it looks like it's a different blue altogether. And I thought their helmet, you guys tell me if I'm wrong, because I think I'm in the minority on this, because I've been saying for a decade that the Texans have one of the coolest helmets in the NFL, which is tough to do for an expansion team. And I don't know if anybody agreed with me, because they're changing the helmet, according to those leaks. They're completely changing the helmet. I thought it was a perfect helmet.
But the helmet they already had?
Maybe you guys disagree, because I don't see many people like it. I loved it.
I also think that my ideas, I never liked black for the sake of black. Like, my favorite color is black. I think it's a tough color, but I also don't believe, like, I don't believe the Jets need black in their uniform. Right. I don't think the Browns need black in their uniform, or Washington, or any of the other ones. Like, I don't like black. Like, we went through a bad phase. Like, I think Phil Hecken and Todd Radom will be the guys.
You watch. That,
yeah. Like, they will tell you, like, we went through a very bad phase of black for the sake of black. Like, the Eagles, I really don't think, like, oh, you're showing me their helmets are
the
fine.
The old helmet.
Yeah, their helmet is fine.
Well, it looks like they're completely revamping the helmet, but go ahead.
Okay. Like, well, I mean, I don't know. That's a fine enough helmet.
If it's this age helmet that I'm looking at, that's disgusting.
Yeah, I like the tech. I like the Texas helmet as it is.
It also looks like they're trying to bite off the Titans again.
It looks like
World League. Can you show me? Is there anything? Is there a mock-up that you see?
I'm looking for it.
Here.
You going to send it?
Let me see that.
Here, I'll go again.
Nope. We got nothing there. Nope. Fourth time's a charm. No, that's a no.
There, yeah.
Oh, no, that's a no.
That looks like the Houston Gamblers of the AFWPCAL.
That looks cheap. I don't like that. I think you're right about that. But I love your idea. The 90% rule, I think, is a great idea.
Because it protects some sanctity.
Minimum vote number, though. Yeah. You got to have a minimum, because you can't just have like 5,000 people.
No, I imagine 90%. If you were to ask, if you just do it on Twitter and do an official poll, is hopefully you can hack it. Hopefully Elon's on all of that. On the next poll, I think you'd get millions of votes immediately.
We have done how many fourth quarter songs by poll?
That's right.
That's
and they
got
a lot of votes.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to see, because the Denver ones and now Houston. And by the way, it does seem like in the past, did teams just forego the 5-year rule and just say, no, we're sticking with our uniforms?
I think in years previous.
But now it's going to be every 5 years, every team is going to tweak their uniforms,
except for
Green Bay.
Maybe. But no, I think that some teams, I think that,
Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's never going to change.
I think there's some teams you can only do so much.
Dallas has tinkered.
Kansas City's never going to change.
Kansas City won't change.
Dallas has really tinkered and went back to the old.
Okay.
They did, but remember, they had that 90s when Apex was making their uniforms. They put the big stars, and they still do that as a throwback every once in a while.
I don't think the Browns are ever going to change again. Do you think that's it?
Or do you remember?
I think they tried it, and it was, yeah.
Do you guys remember the Apex college football? Was that Apex?
Yeah.
Like, I remember Iowa had, they had feathers on their shoulder pads or something like that.
Yes.
Was it Apex or Starter? I mean, they were all doing it.
Oh, I think it was
Puma
Apex.
Was making football jerseys then.
Yeah.
I mean,
Iowa
Logo
had some
athletic.
Yeah, Russell.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll add it for a while.
Pro player as well.
Yeah. Pro player was there for a minute. I had a Don Shula jacket, like the big Don. Yeah, that's it. Those are, what are those, feathers or are those like hawk noses or beaks? Hook noses, beaks.
Hawk noses.
Hawk noses.
That's the trophy they play.
You got
for
any others on your phone before we move trophy on?
No, I was trying to see who were the 99 in the Browns uniforms when they came back in 99. Do you remember who the manufacturer was?
I think it was Puma.
Puma. It was Puma, right?
Puma.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that was a different Puma. That was a less cool Puma.
Right.
Puma was big in Europe. It was not big here. And, you know, Puma, like, took a huge surge because of golf and obviously soccer over the last 15 years.
Yeah.
But in 99, for the Browns uniform to be Puma, I think that was jarring for a lot of people.
Did you see that Express that I told you about? That story? The bankruptcy?
No.
Closing stores?
No.
Express?
No. So,
yep.
Weren't they part of the limited brands?
Used to be Structure.
Wasn't that Les Wexner and the limited brands?
Yep. Yep. You mentioned Tommy Hilfiger today because we were talking about FUBU, which I did ask for a FUBU jersey when I was a kid. The 05.
I wore a lot of Tommy Hilfiger.
I wore a little bit. Some of this, I remember I had this pair of jorts my mom got me, and I was getting out, my buddy had a, what was the one that looked like a Dodge Stealth, but wasn't a Dodge Stealth? It was like a Mitsubishi, and I was getting out of his car, and he goes, "Hey, nice jorts." I've never worn jorts since.
You never wore them. You like
it
too.
I was 15 years old. I wore the jorts for the last time. So I have not worn a pair of jean shorts since.
That is when the awakening happens, at least for the boys. I think
it's
girls.
It's been 18 years.
I think girls now, especially with disposable, what do they call it, fast fashion?
Income.
They're wearing stuff a lot earlier. Maybe the guys are too now, and we're just out of it. But when I was young, the guys really didn't start caring until about 15.
Yep.
That is when
I was younger.
Okay, so maybe that's just normal progression.
It's right now, it's like, well, for me, for being a boy dad like I am, 13 was about that.
Yeah,
12, 13 was the age where he was like starting to notice. 14 was the age where he made it known he needed certain things.
Certain things.
Yeah.
That we all just wear because other people wear.
I'm not trying to force this. You're going to roll your eyes. So I had that conversation with Axel yesterday, and I told him I had a paper route when I was 11. Oh, you're already rolling your eyes.
I'm not.
Oh, okay.
I'm not.
He rolled his neck, though.
I did roll my neck.
He was doing a neck roll.
I have to crack my neck now.
My whole body.
Yeah, I'm getting
my neck
old
and
every
my
second.
Back.
It's really annoying.
And those
I won 150,000. The other thing you can't say. So Axel asked me one of the weirdest questions ever yesterday. He asked me, what was life like when I was a kid? And I said, when? I said, there's obviously different. He goes, how was life when you were a kid? And I looked at him, I go, well, you have it a hell of a lot better than I did. I'll tell you that right now. Like I was like half joking. That was true. He couldn't believe I said we got our first computer. We had one computer for the family when I was 14 years old. He was shocked by that. Shocked. Because now they have their own Chromebooks and stuff from school. They have their iPads and all that crap. And then I said I got a paper route when I was 11. I looked at him, I go, you don't know what that is, do you? And he goes, nope. And I told him, I said, you know what newspapers are? And he said, yeah. And I said, okay, have you ever seen a newspaper at the store? And he's like, yeah. I go, all right, they used to be delivered to houses. And I used to ride my bike and then later my moped, because I got a moped when I was like 12. And I would ride my moped and do my paper route every day, which was weird. And I told him, it was crazy because I put it out on Facebook and somebody's like, what, child labor? I go, are we really doing this over paper routes here? We going to have this big argument over paper routes? But you jogged my memory about this right now because my mom worked at a sporting goods store. So any Nike thing, any Nike t-shirt, whatever, that didn't matter because you got it at cost. So like if a t-shirt was, if they got a bunch of t-shirts and it was $4 wholesale or $6 wholesale and you were selling it for $25 at that time, I'm taking swings at it. Mom got it for $6. You know, that type of thing. I don't think the markup would have been that high, for crying out loud, but you get what I'm saying here. So Nike, Adidas, that didn't matter. And so I had all that crap I could want. But my dad was not going to take me into a Dillard's and buy me designer clothes. That was not going to happen. So I had to use my paper route money to buy those things.
Stuff that you really wanted.
Yes. And so that's what you reminded me of. Which, I mean, the paper route, I will tell you one story. It was kind of sad because I delivered to an old folks home. So I remember I got to know Mrs. Easter, and one day I went there, and Mrs. Easter isn't going to be getting the paper anymore, Kenny.
Oh,
and I cried leaving. I cried walking out the door. I was so sad. And there were other people. I remember Mrs. Easter was the nicest one, but there were other people. Like, I'd go and I'd deliver their paper, and, you know, old so-and-so's not going to need their paper anymore, Kenny. That's it. I still remember when Mrs. Easter died.
Did you get to hand deliver these to them?
Or no, was Mrs. It just Easter. The front desk? Well, you would take like 11 or 13. There were like 13. At one time, I had like 20. I would have in a stack, and I'd take them in the afternoon because I delivered the Massillon Independent. And
that was an evening paper or an afternoon paper?
Yeah, afternoon. Okay. And so I would, because they used to be like separate companies when I first started, and then they quickly became the same company. And there would be Mrs. Easter, and there were several. They would like hang out in their wheelchairs in the lobby, and so I would just give her hers. You know, that's fine. And I'd give a couple other ones theirs. There was a guy named Tom. I gave him his, and then I'd take the rest of them, and, you know, take them up there, leave it, whatever. I remember I had to collect from them because there were some that were prepaid, and you got paid on, you know, whatever there. But the ones you had to collect from, some of those could be. There was one guy down the street. I can't tell you what we called him because it's not acceptable in 2024. He was missing an appendage, and wasn't like racist. It was like he was missing an appendage. So I'll tell you, Mike's off sometime. So my dad had to go down there and get that squared away because he kept, I just don't have it. I don't. And finally, Dad had to go down there and be like, "You got to pay my son. Let's go." Things like that. There were some people I got to know through collecting that were really nice. But I don't know why I need to bring all that up because it's just, that's how I got like Tommy Hilfiger crap was. And yeah, now I look back and I go, what a waste.
Unless
what
you would
a
have
waste.
Stolen it, which I'm sure kids you knew were doing.
Like the paper.
Oh, yeah. There was definitely kids stealing.
The paper's dead anyway. Like our neighbor, I think he was trying to read an article, and right now they're doing like, you know, you get 6 months for a buck or something, some of these, because the paper companies are all owned by like six different people. Nationwide now, but he gets a Tuesday edition now. He's a retired guy, and even Toby came home and goes, "Mr. Dave has something in his driveway. Should I pick it up and take it up to
his
store?"
Oh my God.
I go, "What do you mean something?" He goes, "I don't know. It's in a baggie."
I'm like, it's still Sunday delivery.
That's
people still get it on Sundays.
That's called a nickel, son. And no, but I go, "That's a newspaper." He goes, "You get newspapers at the house?"
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, did.
We did it every day. We had the box on our mailbox.
My buddy Eric and his two brothers, they all had paper routes. And Eric dropped his paper route, and he wanted it back. And this kid who lived two blocks over got the paper route. This is hoodlum stuff. I shouldn't be telling you guys this, but they were like, "Give the paper route back." And he's like, "No, it's my paper route. I'm taking the paper route." And they're like, "Give it back." And he's like, "No, I'm not giving you." Well, he had to deliver to Eric's house. I'll never forget this. Unless I get Alzheimer's, I'm never going to forget this. This kid delivered to the house one weekday. It was the summertime. And they chased this kid down the street, caught him. They ran right out the door, bum rushed him. Okay? And it was me and Eric's job as his two older brothers jumped this kid. I shouldn't tell this story. It was me and Eric's job to take his papers and like ruffle him up and get all the paper rolled around. And then we took his bike. You know what ghost riding is? Mm-hmm. There was this thing called the pits. There was this big, like, it was a pit. It was between the neighborhood and a steel company that was right on the other side of the neighborhood. And we ghost rode his bike in the pits and just walked by. And he gave up the paper route. Hoodlum stuff.
That's
if my dad, hoodlum. I mean, if I told my dad about that now, he might try to swing on me. Like, you should not do that, and I can't believe I participated in that. I was like 9. I didn't know any better. Because if we would have participated in it, then his older brothers would have just beat me up.
Oh, right.
They were 12. They were, I mean, hoodlum stuff. They did that stuff. Like, that's the way it was. But that's how seriously paper routes were taken back in the day, man.
Do hood stuff with your friends.
Turf wars and the paper routes. So, like, when Barone Sanitation and the lines get mixed up Sopranos.
That's exactly what I
feel
thinking
it. I feel it.
Never had that. Now, lawn mowing, that's a different story, but we'll do that.
Oh, that's a totally, time. that's a totally different podcast. You are upset with people making fun of NBA players for that. We're brought to you by Extend. You're upset about people making fun of NBA players about injuries,
well,
calling them soft.
I used to do it too. I used to make fun of the NBA players, and most of it is diehard NFL fans who rip on the NBA players for being soft. And believe me, there are times when I've thought that. I've thought certain players
are soft.
Well,
I think guys make business decisions, but they also do it in the NFL.
I just, when you really think of the actual sports, there's a reason guys can play banged up in the NFL. Go out there, wide receiver, a little banged up, but final 5 minutes of a game, go out there, run a route or two, right?
Yeah.
There's a reason why you're able to do that. Whether you're an offensive lineman, all right, are you going to get us killed for one play, two plays? Are you going to get us killed, or can we survive? Mm-hmm. Same thing, running back. Trot a running back out there. Can you just keep us, can you not fumble the ball, right? In basketball, if you are truly banged up, if you have an ankle or if you have a knee, like I saw Jalen Suggs when he came in that game yesterday, and the Cavs immediately went right around him and got layups all of a sudden. You can't be out there on a basketball floor. If the other team knows you're injured, you are immediately, there's only 5 guys on the floor at a time, and if they find one weak link like that, you're screwed. That's why guys can't play in the NBA if they're banged up. You need them to play on defense.
Well,
they can't. And also offensively, but really defensively, they're already picking on the weakest part of your team defensively.
Yeah.
And the minute that you can't get up and down the floor, you're done. You have no role on an NBA basketball court in this day and age.
I had that thought because when Jalen Suggs went down, they literally carried him off the floor. So I was like, oh my God, that's it. And then he was back out on the floor. And my first thought, I will admit guilty to this. My first thought was, what do we need the histrionics?
Yeah, well, Paul Pierce, Joel Embiid. Like we just said that about Joel Embiid after that dunk.
Yeah, but immediately after I thought that, I didn't say it out loud. There was a replay of a foul last night, and he, for anybody who could see it, he went up for the rebound, and as he came down, he landed on one leg. The leg that wasn't, that didn't have a sleeve on it, the leg he didn't hurt, and like did a pirouette to like land. And I go, all right, a healthy guy does not land like that.
No. Yeah.
Healthy players, I've never seen a healthy player land like that. He's definitely hurt, but they're athletes. So, like, you know, if I hurt myself, I'm in no physical condition. It's going to take 2 weeks. He hurts himself. Hopefully, this is why you lift them weights and do all that stuff. And so you can take care of yourself and that you can play through it to some level. But you're going to get exposed if you're playing a better team anyway.
And, yes, football guys, sure, they're tougher. They're just it's a tougher sport. I don't think anybody could doubt that.
I'm not, yeah.
But that doesn't mean that every NBA guy is just a wimp because they're not out there on the floor because they tweak something. You on a football field, you can survive. You can survive with a bit of a limp. Like, you're not going to do it the whole game. But you can survive. Pass rusher who's been maimed throughout the course of a game. Yeah, they're still going to come after him. They're still going to have him on the field because they might be that much better than the backup.
Mm-hmm.
But you get to stop after every play. You get to walk back to the huddle or walk back to the line of scrimmage. In these NBA games, the ones we're watching, one where there's a lot of free throws, some of these other ones, Philadelphia, guys were falling in the last 5 minutes of that game between Philadelphia and the Knicks. Guys were getting thrown to the ground, no stoppage, just deal with it. Nobody was calling timeout. It was a mess on the floor. You can't do that. You can't be out there if the game, the continuous action of the game is going to prevent you from ever doing that. So I just had to get off my chest because I see the internet was just ripping on every single guy.
I wanted to see something
here.
Uniform. So Willis Reed in that game, I can't believe this though. This is incredible. Like he, like the whole thing, 1970, when he limps out on the floor for game 7, when they played the Lakers, they won that game. They won game 7 and they won the NBA finals. See, I didn't realize this because everybody goes, he only scored 4 points.
Like, everybody's like, oh my God, Willis Reed, he played in this game. He still logged 27 minutes in that game.
Mm-hmm.
So he only scored 4 points, but he was still like part of that. So now I kind of want to go back and there's got to be a documentary on something I can watch on it, or some article, or some expose.
It's one of the most talked about NBA events when we were young.
Like, what could he do? Well, I mean, I was born in 86, so it was obviously after, but still it was talked about throughout my childhood. Like, what could he do to still contribute on the floor for 27 minutes playing injured, playing hobbled? And obviously it was worth it. I think there's some validity in that. I also just think, you know, it's part of the American psyche. There's plenty of kids growing up. There's plenty of adults right now growing up. They were allowed to play basketball. They were allowed to play baseball. They were not allowed to play football. They were allowed to play soccer. They were not allowed to wrestle. And I think that that's part of our psyche. So immediately we go, well, it can't be. No, obviously the impact in basketball is not as much as you're going to have in football. But there's something. There's so many times I just cringe at some of the stuff that goes on an NBA floor, because I know it's like, God, that's got to hurt. I mean, Zion Williamson, full throttle into the chest of LeBron. I don't care how many weights LeBron's lifted. Like, he was ass over tea kettles in the lane. I'm like, come on, man. That's a 41-year-old body. He's got to be waking up creaking tomorrow. Like, that's rough. I'm going, this is some tough stuff. And then there's times where I'm like when I think it was Suggs yesterday, ran through the pick set up by Jared Allen. I'm like, that's not a moving screen. He just barrel rolled, and I think the ref got confused. I thought there was no – he leaned a little bit, maybe if you wanted to call it, but I thought it was a little bit tight. And maybe if I was a Magic fan, I'd probably think different. Fair enough. But I thought it was a fair enough screen delay, and I didn't think it should have been a foul. But I'm like, man, you hurt already. You pirouette twice – not pirouette, but you roll twice after that. He can't be feeling good on the plane ride back either last night or to this morning. You can't feel. Would you fly back last night or would you fly back this morning if you were Orlando? I would have probably flown back this morning.
Really?
Yeah. You would have flown back last night because you're traveling in the middle of the night then.
Yeah, but that game.
Game ended.
The flight from here to Orlando is not long.
True.
That game ended by 9:15. Mm-hmm.
But dude, now
sleeping in your own bed one extra night.
I'm hearing the play, but I'm also here, like, the schedules change a little bit. We're kind of going to the weeds here. I'll finish it up. I am hearing a little bit where the schedules change, where, like, now they're not having like 10 a.m. shoot arounds anymore, because it's like, well, you guys work second shift, so why would you do anything at 10 a.m. if you're working till midnight? Like, that's not going to happen. And then you're traveling, because that's part of the work. Like, there's teams now, like, if you're making a West Coast trip and now you don't have back-to-backs like you used to, they're leaving in the morning. They're not leaving at night. Of course, it's probably easier to get the hell out of there at 11 o'clock at night. It doesn't matter, Hopkins or wherever. It's probably easier to get out at 11 o'clock at night than it is at, you know, now, if you were the Orlando Magic.
None of the cool videos, save for when the Cavs came back, because they stopped in Vegas after winning game 7 of the finals. All the cool videos of the teams coming back and the fans cheering them on, they happen in the middle of the night.
That's true.
They don't happen at 10 in the morning.
Sometimes it happens after losses like the Bills, and that's a shame. All right, is that the end of the podcast?
That's it.
All right, we're brought to you by Extend. Bye-bye.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.